I almost wouldn't complain if Brian wanted to keep playing that. But I want to get on. I need to get on with the message here, because if you wanted to replace those broken record soundtracks in your head, you know, those thoughts that keep you back, that hold you down, that tell you you're not good enough, or that you're not smart enough, or that you lack the skill or the ability to achieve your dreams, how would you go about doing that? See, that's what we're working on. And first we learned that we need to retire them, then replace them with new, and then finally put the new on repeat. Last week we learned how to turn down those negative overthinking voices that we wish there was a switch, but we can't always just flip the switch. Instead, we find the dial and we turn the dial down by asking ourselves three questions. Is it true? Is it helpful? And is it kind? Because a lot of our thoughts aren't true and a lot of them aren't helpful, but when they get there, and if they're kind, if they pass the kindness test, then we can start using those to shape our new soundtracks. Yet there are times when we're fighting, the fighting in our head becomes overwhelming and we have to do something, that we're struggling to turn them down, so we break this cycle of repeat by using a turn down technique. That is, we get out of our headspace and we take an action, such as a hobby or an exercise or something that is enjoyable or an easy, fun, and meaningful way to get out of that space. Yet, nevertheless, there are still times when some of these pervasive soundtracks are relentless and they continue to hunt, haunt, and hinder us. And when this happens, we must change our approach. And instead of fighting, we flip them. Don't fight it. Flip it. Because that's what Paul is doing in our scripture today. Before we get into that, let's give you a little bit of background. There was once a man named Saul. And Saul was a promising young man. He was strong in the faith. He was eager to serve God. He was a rising star among the Pharisees. That's an elite religious group with the Jews. And he was destined to be a powerful Jewish leader. And he watched one day with smug appeal, holding the coats of his friends, as his friends threw stones at this young disciple named Stephen, killing him. In fact, when he saw this, Paul was motivated by this event that he went to the high priest and got permission to seek down, pursue, arrest, imprison, and even beat members of this new sect, these followers of Jesus, known as Christians. And so Saul set out on his journey with a passionate prejudice. And to him, if somebody died in his custody, well, that was just God's will. Saul's vendetta was renowned. And Christians began to hide from the authorities and meet in secret places, so that no one could find them unless they were invited in. One day, while traveling towards Damascus, Saul has this supernatural experience with the risen Jesus Christ. And from that experience, two things happen. First, he goes blind. He can't see at all. And second, he realizes that his mission of persecution is wrong. And when he finally makes it to Damascus, his escort, his party that is there arrives. There's a faithful disciple of Jesus named Ananias, who has a vision from our Lord to meet this Saul and offer him hospitality. Except Ananias is afraid. He knows Saul's reputation, and he knows he's been hunting and persecuting Christians. And his soundtrack is saying, no way, survive, evade, resist, escape, get out of there. Ananias wants nothing to do with Saul. Yet he continues to hear the voice of Jesus say, no, help him. I have plans for him. And Jesus' words overrules Ananias' soundtrack. So Ananias flips his soundtrack. And instead of being hunted by Saul, he hunts for Saul. He hunts him down, and when he finds him, he invites him into his own home and offers him a grace-filled filled hospitality. You know what happens? Through Ananias sharing the gospel, Saul experiences the Holy Spirit. He regains his sight. He commits his life to Christ and he's baptized. And soon after, Saul becomes known as Paul. He adopts the Greek version of his name, which literally means to plead for, beg, or borrow from God. That's exactly what Paul does. He pleads for God for the rest of his life, for the rest of his days. He becomes known as the most famous apostle, the apostle to the Gentiles, and that is anyone who's not Jewish. And he spends the rest of his life helping start churches and mentoring churches and pastors. And he ends up writing 2/3 of the New Testament before Emperor Nero has him executed. Yet it's at the height of his ministry, at the height of his career, when he writes our scripture today. See, this was originally a letter to the church in Rome. Now we get to share it. But it's Paul's theological treatise where he pours out his understanding of God and he shares some of his greatest insights. And then right smack in the middle of the 16 chapters of Romans, here in chapter 7 and 8, in the middle of his greatest work, he writes his own personal confession. That even though we have freedom from the Spirit of God, he is a slave to sin. He can't help but to do the things he doesn't want to do, that he shouldn't do. Then there's the things he wants to do, the things he shouldn't do, but somehow he doesn't do them. Anyone feeling this? Sound familiar? I mean, how many times do we do something and then we instantly regret it? How many times is there something that we want to do, but we can't seem to collect the courage or the willpower to make it happen? Paul, the most prolific apostle, is right there with you. His soundtrack is one of failure, self-defeat, and inability. And he's miserable. But then he claims a new soundtrack. That Jesus Christ has delivered him from his mess. And there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And he is in Christ. The Spirit of life, the Spirit of Christ has set him free. And he repeats this pattern throughout the chapter until he finally closes out chapter 8 with the truth that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that can separate us from the love and the presence of Christ Jesus. See, Paul realizes that he's not always able to change who he is, so he flips the script and reminds himself and us who he is in Christ. That is, who we are in Christ, who you are in Christ. He's delivered. We are delivered. I am delivered. You are delivered from our mess by Christ. And we are set free. You are set free, and nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us, can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. Now, there's some irony in what Paul is saying, because he knows he's a mess, yet he's delivered from his mess. He can't help himself. Yet he's free from his past. He might be condemned, but Christ doesn't condemn him. Instead, Christ loves him. You might struggle with this, feeling like a slave to sin, but you have freedom in Christ. You might struggle with being loved, but Christ loves you. In a fun way, We hear a similar irony in our sermon soundtrack this morning. The Brit band Katrina and the Waves singing, "I'm walking on sunshine." And I saw a lot of heads bouncing and some people moving. I'm surprised you didn't get up and dance. We're allowed to dance. But Katrina's singing that, you know, that she wasn't sure if she was loved, but now she knows. And she's waiting for that knock on the door, you know, like Jesus says, he stands at the door and knocks to let me in. She's waiting for that knock on the door. And she can't wait to go to the mailbox to get that next love letter. So now she's walking on sunshine. Woohoo! And it feels so good. So I want you to take a look at the lyrics inside your bulletin there. Take a look at that picture that's there at the top. And here's where the irony comes in, because if you've seen this music video, the official music video for this song, or looking at this picture, this is a picture from the music video, and the whole music video is set in this setting. And you might think, what? You might be a little confused, because she's singing and dancing about walking on sunshine, yet the band is all dressed in gray. And it's outside, it's all dark and cloudy and gloomy. It's totally not a walking on sunshiny day. That is, unless you're British. As one YouTube commenter said, as a Brit, I can confirm this is what a sunshiny day looks like in the UK. For us, we can take that walking on sunshine. We can flip the gloomy day into a sunshiny day. We can take Paul's example and we can flip it. That when he spoke with a sense of irony, he spoke more with a sense of faith. And I want to help you out in your faith this morning. I'd like to help you use your faith to flip some of your soundtracks, so that when the devil or the enemy or even your own mind tries to tear you down and tell you that you're not good enough, not smart enough, not experienced enough, not whatever enough, flip it with what God says about you. That you are created by God in the image of God, called very good and made to do good things. That you have the mind of Christ. You bring your thoughts under the control of Christ. And Christ is the embodiment of wisdom. And that you've had your whole life to build the experience of working hard, making and learning from your own decisions and learning to make things better, just as in our mission statement says that we are, you know, learning to make life better and you better at life through Jesus Christ. That's what you are doing. So ultimately, if you're struggling to flip your soundtrack, then learn to borrow someone else's. Ask people that you admire, that you look up to, what things they tell themselves to help them build up their own courage and overcome their own self-doubts. And then even borrow from the best. Borrow from the words of God. Because here are some examples for us. This sense of irony, it's not lost on you. Paul is right there with you. Yet he's speaking from faith. So when you feel like Paul did, when you feel defeated, you can speak from faith too. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes from hearing, from listening to Christ's message. So spend some time reading scriptures and building up your faith so you can rewrite your soundtracks with one orchestrated by God. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the reality of what we hope for, the proof of what we don't yet see. That even if you don't see the results of your new soundtrack yet, keep working and repeating, because that's your faith at work. 1 John 4:4 says that you are from God, and greater is the one in you than the one who is in the world. See, you have God with you and in you. And that is the greatest ally you could ever ask for. And God is with you, and together you can and will do great things. And this one I bet you all know, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, or who strengthens me. That when you're ready to quit because it seems like it's too much, that life is too difficult, the obstacles are too great, remember that Christ will help you persevere. Christ will help you get through. And that leads into our final. That when we read the book of Revelation in all of its apocalyptic glory, some of us are blown away and dismayed and we don't know what to think. But I want to tell you to look for the words of hope. And what I mean is that there is hope woven throughout Revelation. And the phrase that is most repeated is that those who persevere will emerge victorious. So as you work at not fighting these broken records, flip them over. Don't fight it, flip it, and replace it with a new soundtrack orchestrated by God. Because together, we are, you are, all of us, me and you, we are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And you are sharing the love of Christ, offering the grace of God, and we are being the church that gets things done beyond these walls. Amen?